So tonight we want to look in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And I want to share this portion of Scripture. And, you know, every time I read, it seems like every time I read a portion of Scripture and I have studied it, when I read it again, something else kind of comes out. That's just how I believe the Lord works. But there's some things that I want us to focus on. Of course, the message tonight is called A Most Important Place. A Most Important Place. But I want us to kind of consider, of course, you know, the one in our forefront thoughts, obviously, is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, what He did. Jesus Christ, the miracle that He performed. And the change that took place in a man's life. But there's also other people that we need to consider in this passage for our reading and for our consideration tonight. And that is the one who was troubled in spirit, the one who was demon-possessed, the one who, the Bible says, who had devils a long time. I want us to kind of consider him and what he was dealing with. Not only what he was dealing with, but the change that took place in his life because of Jesus. But then I want us to also consider what I would consider the world. Those that were alarmed by what Jesus did, those that were troubled about what Jesus did. And the Bible actually makes mention that they were fearful. They didn't really understand what had taken place. And I believe the reason they didn't understand why what was taking place is because, in a sense, their livelihood was taken away. And we're going to read this in just a few moments. But it said that they had great fear. And so in that fear and in their concern about their possessions or their concern about their livelihood, and, you know, you kind of have to read this portion of, you know, this portion of Scripture two or three times to kind of get the gist of it, but they literally asked Jesus to leave. And if we consider the things that's taking place in the world, there are people asking Jesus to leave. They're concerned about the things that's happening around, but instead of inviting Jesus in, they invited him to leave. And I think that's a lesson, because in asking Jesus to leave, then really our troubles continue. But when you're asking Jesus and when you're inviting him in, then you spend more time at the feet of Jesus and with Jesus than you are worrying about the things around us. And I think that's a great lesson that we can all learn when we're dealing with problems and when we're dealing with issues in life. Never shut him out, but invite him in. So we want to begin reading tonight, and I just wanted to kind of give you that little bit of a summary before we read, to see if you can kind of pick out what I'm referring to, but also look at these different individuals or this group of people and so on in our reading. And so I trust tonight will be a blessing. The Bible says, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadareans, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land there, met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs." So you already see the troubled man. It's also important to notice that he was out of the city. He wasn't in the city, but he was out of the city. And the Bible says, "And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of David, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and with fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. But there were there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they brought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they had fed them, saw what was done, they fled and went and told into the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was done. So here's this group of people that came out to see what had happened. Now it's interesting because I think they were more worried about the swine than they were the change that had took place in this man. So I begin with verse 35 again. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also, when they saw it, told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the multitude of the country and the Gadareans round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. So this man wanted to be with Jesus. But Jesus sent him away saying, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. So we see a group of people that asked Jesus to leave and depart. But we also saw Jesus tell a man ultimately to stay and tell people what had happened. So there's a contrast there in this departure, because they asked Jesus to stay away or to because of the fear, because of what they had seen. But they also, Jesus himself said he sent him away. But he sent him away with a mission. And that mission was to return to his own house. In other words, tell the people what happened. Tell the people how your life has changed. Tell the people what good and what great things God hath done unto thee. So we see a contrast here. But I want us to kind of focus on where this man was and where this man was found. And he was found in verse 35. He was found sitting at the feet of Jesus. And not only was he sitting there, he was clothed and he was in his right mind. And that's why we call this a most important place. A most important place. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for each one that's here. We thank you for those that are watching, those that are spending time with us tonight. We thank you for those that will be listening in the future. And Lord, we pray that we'll just kind of evaluate where we are in our life and help us to understand that there's a lot of things that's happening in the life, but the most important place for us is that important place, and that's to be with Jesus. That's to spend time with him. That's to be at his feet. Help us to learn. Help us to trust. And help us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Where is this place? We know the area. We know the vicinity that the Bible says. But where is this place? Where is this place that this man was found? And as I said moments ago, he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. I ask the question tonight, and I ask it to all of us, and I ask it like this. What is the most important thing in your life? What is the most important thing in your life? Is it goals? Is it things that we would like to see happen? Is it places that we would like to go? Is it, you know, what is it that drives us? What is it that motivates us? What is our ambitions? No matter how young or how old we are, there's still ambitions that we have. So what is the most important thing? Well, I think these people, this group of people, although there were fear, they didn't understand what had happened because they knew the man that had these devils. They knew the man that was possessed. They knew him. And now they saw him sitting at the feet of Jesus. And they didn't understand exactly what had taken place. They didn't understand all that had happened. So, you know, not only were they fearful, but also they were concerned about their possessions. They was concerned about their livelihood. And maybe I should say they were just concerned about their business. And so all those are legitimate concerns, but they were no more important. Or maybe I should say they weren't as important as what Jesus did in the heart of this man. You see, if we allow Jesus to work in our life, and if we allow Jesus to control our lives, and if Jesus is the first and forefront of our life, then I believe that all these things, although we may not understand them, and all we may not have the answer, but I think that all these things will work out for themselves if we have our faith and trust and understanding that God knows best. But see, they were more concerned about the swine, and they were more concerned about the business, if you will. And so many times individuals think that they can fix them things themselves rather than just simply giving it to Jesus. Well, this man that was possessed, he could not fix himself. He could not fix what was taking place in his life. And so we have a lot of things that's happening in this passage. So we're going to try to zero in on some things. But I just want us to see tonight that this man was now in his right mind. This man was now clothed. And Jesus made the difference. So if we don't get anything else tonight, Jesus will make a difference in your life. And even for us that are saved, that's been saved a good long while now, Jesus is still that one that will make a difference. Make a difference. You know, we see him actually, if you really kind of stop and think about it, we actually see him in a place that money can't buy. Money can't buy what Jesus can do in a heart. Money can't buy what the change that Jesus can, money will only take an individual so far. And sometimes the more that people try to use money, the more that money controls them, or that business controls them, or whatever the case may be. But Jesus changed this man's life, and that's something that money can't buy. So Jesus changed, and his change was complete. It wasn't do this now and then do this later. It was Jesus delivered him, and now this change was complete because he was found sitting at the feet of Jesus. So as we consider the group of individuals that were looking on and that were afraid and that asked Jesus to leave, as we consider this man who was possessed with the devils, and as we consider Jesus, I want to now zero in on what do we find at the feet of Jesus. What do we find? What can help all of us? What could have helped this group of people that asked Jesus to leave? What could have helped them? What did help the man? And what did Jesus provide? And I want to make mention, the first thing is this. At the feet of Jesus, you will find peace. You will find peace. This man was in turmoil. His turmoil was because of this possession. But if you stop and think about it, this group of people were in turmoil too. They were just in turmoil in a different way. They were in turmoil because they were more concerned about the livelihood, and they were more concerned about the things that were happening around them than they were about what Jesus could do. So in reality, there were there was a group and a man that was in turmoil, but the man was the one that was found at the feet of Jesus. The man was the one that had a change that was in their life, and if they would have focused on what Jesus did for this man, because Jesus actually challenges this man and says, tell people what great things God has done. Tell them what great things. Well, they were witnessing what Jesus did, but yet they turned their back on it. And they said for Jesus to leave. And so I believe that in a sense, these people were in just as much turmoil as this man was, because they were more concerned about their possessions, and they were more concerned. And believe it or not, if you really stop and study this passage, this man didn't ask Jesus to leave, even though he was possessed. The ones that asked Jesus to leave was the ones that was depending upon themselves, and the ones that was depending on the things that were around. Those were the ones that said, Jesus, I need you to leave. Something to think about. Something to ponder on. Because even those that were possessed, or this man that was possessed, they even recognized Jesus for who he was, because it says in verse 28, Jesus, thou son of God, the Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not. So they recognized who Jesus was, but the ones that asked Jesus to leave, and so there was no peace in their hearts. There was no peace because they were afraid and they were concerned about all that was happening, so there was no peace. But the one that found peace was the one that wanted Jesus to work in his life. So we look at the condition. The Bible says that he wasn't in his right mind. He wasn't thinking straight. He was kept bound with chains. He was troubled. So there was no peace. There was no happiness. He was miserable. But you could almost say the people were the same way. There was no peace. There was no happiness. And they were miserable because they were concerned about the swine. He couldn't help himself. Well, guess what? Those people couldn't help themselves either. And so he was kept bound in chains, but you realize that this world can help people be bound in chains. Because if they're focused so much on the things of this world rather than the things of the world to come, in other words, eternity, if they're so bound with the cares of this life and the cares of what's happening, you know, and we're concerned and we pray for this election coming up, but no matter who gets in, that's not going to define who I am as a Christian. You see, we pray and we ask God to bless and we ask God to put the right person in place, but that's not going to define us as believers. And so we can't get so wrapped up in the things of this life and the cares of this life. We can't get wrapped up in so many things that's happening in our life. We need to be at the feet of Jesus. And that's where this man's found, is at the feet of Jesus. You see, Jesus set him free. And now he has peace. You see, notice what happened to the devils in verse 33. The Bible says, then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down into this steep place, into the lake, and were choked. You see, that's what Jesus delivered this man from this possession. Jesus set this man free. And so now he was in his right mind, but those that were asking Jesus to leave, they were still troubled. And there was no peace in their life. And so we see that at the feet of Jesus. And so, when you see somebody at the feet of Jesus in their life, and I'm not talking about physical, because we know that, but if you see somebody in their heart at the feet of Jesus, that is someone wanting to get close to Jesus. And you see that evidence, and that is a place that money cannot buy, and this world cannot bring the happiness that Jesus Christ can bring. The world cannot bring the peace that Jesus Christ can bring. So the next thing we see that I think about that we see at the feet of Jesus is a place of thanksgiving. A place of thanksgiving. So if you took time to turn with me in Luke chapter 17, we see individuals that the Bible says in verse 11, the Bible says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and it entered into a certain village that met him 10 men that were lepers that stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And so Jesus saw them, and he said unto them, go show thyself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Then there was one individual, verse 15 says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
Giving him thanks. Giving him thanks, for he's a Samaritan. You see, at the feet of Jesus, we find peace. And at the feet of Jesus, when you realize you're there, you're going to give him thanks. That thanksgiving. Only one came back, but that one gave gratitude. That one had a thankful heart. That one was found at the feet of Jesus. We may see people around us, and we may look around, and we may wonder about this, and may wonder about that. But it doesn't say that he thought to himself, where's the other nine? Jesus asked, but he didn't, because he was found at the feet of Jesus. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, many times we worry about a lot of things, but we can't answer for what other people do, but we can answer for what we do.
Amen.
And that's be at the feet of Jesus.
Right.
With thanksgiving. We can get the message out just like Jesus said, return, tell how great God, what great things God has done, and we can do all those things, but we cannot answer for what others do, but we can answer for what we do. So at the feet of Jesus, we find peace. At the feet of Jesus, we find thanksgiving. At the feet of Jesus, we find a place of learning. And I won't take time to read, but in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 and 42, there's someone called Mary. And Mary found the feet of Jesus. And she chose the good part. And the Bible says, it will not be taken away. Let's go back to these swine. These swine were ultimately destroyed. And so what people were focusing on, the cares of this life, what those people were focusing on were destroyed. But Jesus said, Mary chose the good part, which will not be taken away. The feet of Jesus. Mary chose what would not be taken away. She chose to be with Jesus. She chose to sit at His feet. She chose to put everything aside, and she learned from Jesus. You know, people make choices every day, all kinds of choices every day. Many choose, and they try to make the best decisions that they make. And they try to work real hard to make those wise decisions. But if Jesus isn't part of that decision, then it's not very wise. We need to be found at the feet of Jesus. That good place to be. And then lastly tonight, it's a place of pardon. Luke chapter 7, and I won't read that passage, but Luke chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. There were those that were Pharisees. And just a little bit about this passage, but there were those that were Pharisees that had no water for the feet of Jesus. They had no kiss for the Master. But the woman that was in this passage, she washed His feet with her tears. She kissed His feet and she anointed His feet. And the Bible says in verse 47 that her sins were forgiven. You see, we can find pardon at the feet of Jesus. This is a place that no money can buy. This is a place that can't be earned. This is a place that cannot be accomplished by us. But this is a place that should be most important in our life. These people thought more about the worldly things than being with Jesus. And it breaks my heart when I read the passage where it told him to depart. It breaks my heart because they were blind from fear, and they were blind because they were looking at everyone else and everything else instead of looking at the miracle that Jesus performed. And they asked Him to leave. We see a lot of chaos in our world today. There's no doubt. Wars. Terror. Satan is on the attack. We see storms. We see tragedies. We see so many things. But no matter what is going on around us, our challenge tonight is be at the feet of Jesus. The most important place. Let's pray. Father, thank You for our time together. And Lord, I pray that You'll help us to evaluate where we are. Help us to not worry, but help us to pray about the things around us. Help us to pray that Your will would be done. Lord, will You deliver from so much chaos? But Lord, as we live here today, help us to find our peace, our comfort, our understanding, our learning. Help us to find all those things at the feet of Jesus. We ask Your blessings tonight, and we thank You for all that You do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.